Hello, my name's Kate Cooper. I'm Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute of Leadership and Management. And this podcast is the third in our series of five podcasts focusing on being a great colleague. The Institute recognises leadership as being multidimensional. We have the five dimensions: authenticity, vision, achievement, ownership and collaboration. And within those, we have identified components. People looking for leadership support, particular knowledge, can go straight to the area that they need to find that support, insight, knowledge that they require. The component I'm going to be talking about today is mentoring, one of the components of achievement. I'm going to focus on three things: how to be a good mentor, how to be a good mentee, and what you might think about if you wanted to set up an organisational scheme for mentoring. It was traditionally seen as passing on experience, but now so much can be learnt from the person you're supposed to be mentoring. We hear that expression, reverse mentoring. It's so much more than an older person being taught how to use Zoom in exchange for wisdom and insight. I think it's a frame of mind. It's a mindset that when you start talking to somebody about something you both care about, which is, of course, the organisation you work in, the sector, the career that they're having, you're both learning. For mentors, there's that opportunity to keep on developing their leadership skills, to gain the personal satisfaction from actually thinking that you're helping somebody. But also, many people come to us at the Institute and say they want to give back. They see mentoring as a way of helping others, a legacy, passing on that wisdom and insight. The only caution I'd sound about that is that it should be more than that. If you think that you're going to do a sort of knowledge dump, then, and not with that mindset that says, you know, I can learn from this, this is for my benefit and satisfaction as much as the person I'm ostensibly helping, then you're not going to be the best mentor. For mentees, great insights, learning from experience is something we always advocate, but sometimes there's a shortcut to that, that you can actually harness the experience of somebody else and learn from that. Mentoring gives you the opportunity to bring a problem to somebody who understands the context in which your problem's happening. They understand what's the drivers, the industry, the players, if they work in the same organisation, a real insight into power dynamics. And in doing so, it often enables people to focus on something that they can't do, they're reluctant to do immediately, to take a problem to their manager or even their colleagues. Organisations that engage properly with mentoring schemes will see reduced staff turnover, improved productivity. It's a great place to work if there are many mentors about doing the job well, because it means that organisation cares about learning and development. It's hard to really define what an ideal mentoring relationship is, and of course there isn't an ideal one, because some are formal and structured and last for a long time, and others are much shorter and don't last for a very long period of time. You could meet somebody at a conference, for example, and think, oh, that person knows stuff I want to know. And if they're willing to pass on that insight to learn from you as well, you can have a very short but incredibly productive mentoring relationship. So how long you expect it to last and how much you want to get from it obviously will impact how formal or informal, or the extent to which you try and formally structure the mentoring relationship. So being a good mentor means you have to think about that relationship all the time, encouraging the person that you're mentoring to be the best they can be, to believe in them, to give them that confidence boost, to ensure that they're developing their skills all the time. To show through your own behaviour, the way you conduct yourself professionally, that they are able to learn from you, even informally. And underpinning the whole relationship or the whole expectation of the mentor is respect, being totally responsive to their needs. It's their agenda, not yours. As somebody who's going into a relationship looking to be mentored, if you like, you have to be eager to learn and appreciative of what it is you're trying to get. So you need to be clear about your goals. Recognise that your mentor will be busy, and try and be low maintenance, as I'd call it. If you become too demanding, too much urgency in your requests. It might well be off-putting for somebody who is genuinely trying to do a good job for you. Let them know how they can help you. Let them know how they can be a great mentor. And do always acknowledge the contribution that they're making. But then that's an important thing for both things, the gratitude. This is a great opportunity for both of us to have this relationship. If you're thinking about introducing a mentoring scheme in your organisation, it's got to be recognised as important staff development, as important to delivering organisational goals, and part of a learning culture. And if the culture of the organisation is one that's not ready to value learning, it is going to be difficult to get traction for mentoring. You might have to start it on a small scale and be able to evidence how well it can work, because it can work in particular situations such as succession planning, managing transitions and promotions. Somebody might need mentoring to that new role where they are some familiar to them. Leadership development programs often mandate that each delegate has a mentor, and the mentors work together to see how they can best support the delegates on the program. And what it can also be useful for at an organisational level is to identifying untapped talent. People might be telling their mentors about the things that they're good at, they want to do, their hopes and ambitions, and they become heard in this context where maybe there isn't a platform for them elsewhere. So when you're thinking of establishing a mentoring scheme, do be clear about what you expect to achieve. And as I've said, actually perhaps to be more modest in your ambitions in the early stages, to be able to demonstrate what a good thing it is to be doing. Do think about how you're going to communicate. Often communication is the most unwieldy, time-consuming and challenging part of introducing something like this, because especially here you have so many different expectations. You've got a group of people keen to be mentors, another group of people who want to be mentees. You want to encourage them to keep that momentum going, and at the same time make that all clear about what to expect, because there's nothing worse when introducing something like this that it falls flat, it loses momentum, people are confused, there's conflicting information, and the whole thing is doomed to failure really, because those first early days of getting it right, getting the communication right, enough attention wasn't paid to them. Do think about how you are going to demonstrate success. I do think that's really important if you're going to meet resistance for mentoring programs, because not everybody will see the value of it. And think particularly about reassuring people about the confidentiality, that these relationships are confidential. Nothing is going to be taken outside and talked about outside that relationship. Being able to trust each other and there be an integrity about that trust, absolutely vital. I've mentioned barriers, and I think it's worth spending a minute or so thinking about those. Lack of support from skeptics, people who are cynical, don't understand the benefits of mentoring, is obviously going to be a problem, especially if they're senior and influential in the organisation. If you don't allocate enough resources at the early stage to making it work, it's going to flounder a bit, because the expectations of the mentors and the mentees, they won't be clear about their roles, they won't really know what to expect, and when people are unsure, maybe slightly anxious, it's quite easy to then say, oh, I'm too busy, or I can't do this now, especially if it doesn't seem to be business critical. So people are busy, they'll have different views as to how valuable mentoring is. You will find that people who work from home have got special insights and advice as to how to deal with what are quite challenging situations. Other people really good, perhaps mentoring about the use of technology, more than just giving somebody instructions like an instruction manual and how to use it, but how to get the best out of it, which particular technology to use for which situations, when it's worked for them, when it hasn't worked for them. Maybe somebody could sort of help us with in a real mentoring role to understand what it is we're trying to achieve currently in our situation working from home, and help us do that really well. So organisations that embrace mentoring are rewarded with higher levels of employee engagement, higher retention and improved knowledge sharing. And there is so much knowledge and experience in organisations, hundreds and hundreds of years. And mentoring is one way of sharing that, disseminating it through the organisation, and also, very importantly, making everybody feel that their experience and their knowledge matters. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Please do go on to www.instituteLM.com and download our free resources.